Sam.
Good morning, Al.
Good morning, recovery people everywhere. Perk up.
It's Friday.
Morning, Hamish.
Chewing.
Chew, chew, chew. Hope everyone's well. It is May the 17th. All things are part of the whole, and you are part of that whole. When you fully realise it and can accept it, you will never again experience separation. You will never again be able to draw apart from that wholeness, because it is the living, the putting into practice, that gives it life force and reality. Start right now living and putting into practice all you have been learning, and let these lessons no longer remain with you as empty words without reality. A seed does not grow until it has been put into the soil and is given the right environment. A soul does not expand and grow and find self-expression until it finds itself in the right environment, surrounded by love and understanding. In those conditions, things begin to happen and changes come at great speed. The old is left behind in the light of the glorious new, and growth and expansion of consciousness can take place without any restrictions. I like that. That's what happens to us, isn't it, really? We have to leave the old behind and come into the light and grow and expand our consciousness.
Grow towards the light.
Mm. And the wholeness. Remember, you know, when we're going through the Nan's book?
This is that.
Yeah, what were we going through? The
sutras.
Yeah. When we were going through the sutras, it was all about being whole, being part of. You know, we're all one, we're all connected. There's one source of all creation.
Mm.
And if you're thinking like that, if we're all connected and that everyone has a soul, but we've just built up, you know, different parts of our ego by what we've experienced. And, you know, ours has been out of sorts, hasn't it? You know, we've got too much of self-pity or too much of blame, too much of resentment. We've been unable to feel part of the whole because we've been blocked off from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we come in and we start, you know, thinking about others more, becoming more wholesome, living more wholesome lives, eating whole foods.
Mm.
We just start to, you know, change, don't we?
Mm.
It's very, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're making progress and not staying one-dimensional, I think a lot of my growth has come recently. It comes in spurts, you know. You get sudden realizations, and things just start. Okay, yeah. We're all one. We're all one energy. You know, if we're isolated and separate, that's when we suffer. You know, because we're then in our own heads.
Mm.
But if we're part of a community of recovery and we're working together and we're helping each other, then we're not so stuck in our bondage, you know, that perpetual voice in the head that is so self-critical. And I think she mentions it there, doesn't she, about, you know, the soul does not expand and grow and find self-expression until it finds itself in the right environment, surrounded by love and understanding. You know, a lot of us were misunderstood, weren't we? You know, we were these sensitive souls, but we'd covered it up with, you know, drinking, because we didn't know how to process our emotions properly.
Don't
comedy genius.
That's a coin.
That's a washing implement, Hamish.
I think. Yeah, it's just about uncovering our true selves, isn't it? Going back to, you know, how our soul intended us to be. You know, I feel our soul's part of us. We're born with it and it stays with us and it goes.
Mm.
You know, it's consciousness. And, you know, it's about uncovering that and uncovering all the things that blocked us off from the sunlight of the spirit and going back to our true self and our, you know, to be aligned with our soul. Yeah, I was always conflicted because I remember like hiding my meat in the mashed potato thinking, I don't like this, but I was told, you know, eat your meat up. And I never liked it. So I feel that I'm aligned with my soul now because I'm eating what I feel is good for me, you know, and I feel more aligned with my soul because I'm not harming anyone. I never wanted to hurt anyone.
Mm.
I was so conflicted, and now I'm not.
Mm.
You know, the only things, you know, that conflict me are, as she says, when I go back into those old behaviours. But I have to leave the old behind. Start right now living and putting into practice all you've been learning. And that's putting the principles into all our affairs.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about my recovery roses.
Mm.
And, you know, I thought we need some plants there. So rather than going to buy some rose seeds, you know, and plant the rose seeds in little pots and nurturing them and getting seedlings and, you know, growing little plants and planting seed, you know, I just went and bought half a dozen rose plants that were
ready,
a foot to high or, you know, 2 foot high and, you know, 20 quid each or whatever. And I came up here, dug holes and put some fertilising soil and stuck them in there and watered them. Off you go, you know, and they seem to be growing. So we come into recovery, we're not seeds, we're growing plants. And then it's like, right, well, you've got a new environment now, you know, so, you know, grow. You know, it's not like stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
You have to
expand.
I'm expecting my roses to get bigger and have flowers.
Yeah, but, I like the analogy.
But they've not, you know, they're not starting from scratch. You know, you've got a lot of experience. You've got, you know,
there's a lot of goodness in us.
You've got a physical form, and you know, we're in a new environment.
And we have to. I think this is so key, and it's so often overlooked. We have to make peace with ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves. We have to nurture ourselves. We have to love ourselves.
Well, appreciate what you've got, you know, that you know that what you've been through to some extent has given you some resilience. You know, you have that experience. You're not, you know, completely fragile and
And we just need the right environment. You know, if we still hang out in pubs and doing the same stuff, and it's going to be tricky, isn't it? You know, we've got meetings, we've got recovery friends, you know, we start looking after ourselves a bit better.
Mm.
You know, and I think that comes with the self-love. You know, start looking at, you know, making hospital appointments that we used to miss, you know, checking up on our health, you know, looking at, you know, nurturing ourselves. That's being kind in our thoughts and words to ourselves, isn't it? And, you know, we have to, because otherwise, you know, if we're judging ourselves, we're still judging others.
Yeah, it's the ability to be able to say no. I've developed some discipline, and I can say yes to things that are difficult and no to things that are easy and not healthy.
He's on the prowl, isn't he? Just looking for something
I want some more. I've got my treat now. I've unleashed the addict and the dog.
Did you give him a treat?
Yeah, he's had about three now. I was tidying them up. So, when are we? I think we're 295, right? Playing rightly. Praying rightly.
Oh, but not playing.
Yeah.
Praying.
From the 12 and 12. We thought we had been deeply serious about religious practices. However, upon honest appraisal, we found that we had been most superficial, or sometimes going to extremes. We had wallowed in emotionalism and had also mistaken this for true religious feeling. In both cases, we had been asking something for nothing. We had not prayed rightly. We had always said, "Grant me my wishes," instead of "Thy will be done." The love of God and man we understood not at all. Therefore, we remained self-deceived and so incapable of receiving enough grace to restore us to sanity. Where's the book? Right, so I've been just picking random readings in the book, and there was this one, our southern friend, and he says, comes a thought that is like a voice. Who are you to say there is no God? It rings in my head. I can't get rid of it. I get out of bed and go to the man's room. He is reading. I must ask you a question. I say to the man, how does prayer fit into this thing? Well, he answers, you've probably tried praying like I have. When you've been in a jam, you've said, God, please do this or that. And if it turned out your way, that was the last of it. If it didn't, you've said, there isn't any God or he doesn't do anything for me. Is that right? Yes, I replied. That isn't the way, he continued. The thing I do is to say, God, here I am and here are all my troubles. I've made a mess of things and can't do anything about it. You take me and all my troubles and do anything you want with me. Does that answer your question? So, yes, it does. I answer. I return to bed. It doesn't make sense. Suddenly, I feel a wave of utter hopelessness sweep over me. I'm in the bottom of hell, and there, a tremendous hope is born. It might be true. I tumble out of bed onto my knees. I know not what I say, but slowly a great peace comes to me. I feel lifted up. I believe in God. I crawl back into bed and sleep like a child. Our southern friend, you know, but it's like, it's kind of like the step three prayer, but not quite so wordy, you know. I've made a mess of things, so I'm just going to let you sort it out, you know, and I'll do whatever
what you see fit for me kind of to thing. Do, yeah. I used it as an emergency God, you know. I wasn't religious, but I still prayed, please can you do this, please can you do that, selfishly praying for my own ends, and please can you stop this madness. So maybe there was some listening then, because something did happen.
We had not prayed rightly. We had always said, grant me my wishes instead of thy will be done. The love of God and man we understood not at all. Therefore we remained self-deceived and so incapable of receiving enough grace to restore us to sanity. Receiving enough grace.
We've been doing lots of work about being open receivers. You know, be an open channel, be an open receiver. And, you know, that's where, you know, the surrender sort of experiment comes in, isn't it? You know, we watch life unfold. And, you know, sometimes we do the things that we're not really sure of, that we don't really like taking up service positions, and we find great things happen. You know, I find myself putting my hand up and saying yes for something when I think, no, I shouldn't do that, I'm too busy. But it turns out to be the best thing, because I don't know what's best for me. So if I'm asking, you know, my director to direct me, then it's coming through a series of synchronicities, meetings, opportunities. What are you looking at?
God's grace is usually defined as undeserved favour. Grace cannot be earned. It is something that is freely given. We count on God's grace and the bridge he built in our relationships with him. Bible verses about grace abound. Grace is part of God's character.
Well, I think, you know, going back to your, you know, favourite at the moment, 62-63, you know, if we're keeping up our side of the street, being clean and helping others,
doing his work, staying close to him.
Yeah, we're favoured in return.
Remarkable things will happen.
Yeah.
Power flows in.
And also, you know, that doesn't mean that life isn't going to keep hitting us. You know, we're going to have really tough bits. But they're presented in such a way that if you get through this and grow through this, then you can help others through it. And that's really helpful. And then, you know, your rewards will come with peace, serenity, sleeping at night, good relationships with family and friends.
Yeah, I had a really crippling fear yesterday at work. Like, it was just on me for a couple of hours, you know, and I was like, just keep working through it, you know, and couldn't shake it off, you know, and I didn't like it, and, you know, thinking, oh, I could do, probably speaking to a sponsor, but he's at work, you know, I don't want to bother him, and then the internet went down, you know, the whole building went dark, and, you know, we're kind of dead in the water, phones won't work, you know, software won't work, and I thought I'm gonna get out of here. And then when I wanted to lift home, she was gonna have a lie down, and her car's in the garage. So I took her home, and then I thought, well, I'll cut the grass, bit of service,
do some action,
yeah, and sorted me right out, you know. I was fine after that.
Yeah.
I just thought, because it was growing like fuck, you know, and I thought, oh. I'd been worrying about it, you know, and then that's sort of great, get it done. And
at your old house?
Yeah, so I'm cutting my ex-wife's grass.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Living amends, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, and it, you know, I made her get a new lawnmower because I was fed up lifting hours in and out of the car. I thought I'm going to put my back out, you know, and so I could just do it there.
Is it a nice one?
Yeah, it's a good one. It's not big, but it's good.
But it's, you know, service does help us, doesn't it? It really does. And, good readings.
I went back to work, internet's still down, came back here, I had to lie down, you know, and went back in. I got quite a lot done, actually, and then went to meeting, and very uplifting meeting.
Much better than
kept
being...
busy. I wasn't eating, you know, I don't suppose that helped much with my fear, you know, but... So yeah, I'm coming up to 34 hours fasting.
Great.
I'm going
to sort out my breakfast.
Yeah.
Thanks, Al.
Do the yoga.
Have a great day, everybody.
Yes. Thanks, Sam.
Nice.
I'm just thinking, I didn't pray. You know, I had all that fear and I didn't pray.
Didn't you?
No.
Do you not know the fear prayer from step 5?
No, I don't think I do. It's not a very good prayer, really.
I made them all from the wording, so that everyone's got a fear prayer, a resentment prayer.
There's a prayer for every step, isn't there? Yeah, I never even thought to. But I was thinking
action.
Yeah.
Action. Shall I chuck that?
Yeah.
Yes.